It is good to see everyone out here today that's managed to be with us. I confess the last week that I've headed the wrong direction down the highway a few times in my life. And there were some people who told me afterwards that, you know, they certainly could admit the same thing. They had had that happen. They'd had that experience. One such time, and I know I shared this with some of you in times past, I made this mistake, and I know it's hard for you to believe that I would make such a mistake. But I was on one of our road trips down to Florida to see the kids. And it was a long day that we'd had on the road. It was a long day of travel. And I was tired and just waiting and anticipating, you know, that hotel coming up, you know, pretty soon that we had made reservations for. And then finally, you know, we're approaching that exit where I know the GPS says it's there. Boy, I'm excited, you know, I'm glad. Oh, there's the hotel. Finally, you know. So I get off the exit. And I just turned left there, you know, because the hotel's on the opposite side of the highway. And I'm crossing over this little overpass thing, you know, and boy, I put on my signal and I turned into what I thought was the entrance to the parking lot of the hotel. And I got right back on the highway. You know, I thought it was a service road into the, no, but it wasn't. It was, yeah, and I got back onto the highway headed now north. You know, headed north, and it was at least 5-6 miles to the next exit. You ever been there? You know, so had to go down there, you know. And I'm having a little talk with myself. Oh, Steve, you know, dummy, what'd you do that for? Da-da-da-da. And my wife's saying, you know, what else is new? No, she didn't do that. She's very supportive and encouraging. But, you know, so anyway, I go down, and I get off at the next exit. You know, I do that thing and go over the overpass and get back on, head the right direction now. You know, 5 miles more down the road to get to this exit, get off at the right exit, but this time I'm very cautious and careful because I don't want to repeat that mistake again. Well, that would have been really a story to tell if I had, right? But no, I learned my lesson, seen the situation, so this time I turned down the right road, got out of the hotel parking lot, and hallelujah, praise God, okay, there. Now, before you judge me too quickly, like I say, it was an easy mistake. It could happen to anybody. Even the GPS wasn't that clear, you know. It's like, turn now. And, well, it was like, not quite now. So I could blame the GPS. I could do that. But I know that any of us here who've lived any length of time, we've made at least one wrong turn in our lives. At least one. And I dare say most of us have made a lot more than that. And some of us, at least in some situations, circumstances, maybe all of us, have repeated the same mistake again, even when we said we wouldn't. Even said, I'll be more careful, I'll be more cautious, I know better now. But we've made the same mistake again. Anybody besides me would admit that that's happened? Some hands aren't going up, but you're lying about other things, I'm sure, too. But most, if not all of us, and probably all of us, have at least repeated the same mistakes. Now, in our January series, we're being challenged to give thought about that. And some real thought about what course are we taking in life? Where are we going? Where are we headed? We talked about that last week. What direction are we going in? And we might even be thinking we're going in the general direction we should be, but we may find out that though maybe a U-turn isn't what we think is required, we'll talk about that some more. Some redirection at least is. Some, you know, stopping and thinking about where am I and do I need to adjust my course here some if I really mean to achieve the goal, not just that I have for my life, but that God has for my life, the plan that he has for me. To get in line with that. Some redirection might be necessary. And I believe for every single one of us, there have been times, if it's not this precise time, when we would have to admit, yes, I've been at those crossroads in life. I've been to those situations in my life where I just knew I've got to get my life back on track. I've got to turn myself around. I've got to get some redirection. For some of us, yeah, though, it's going to require a complete U-turn, a complete turnaround. And that's a hard thing for some of us to come to accept that possibility. Because we know that if it's a complete U-turn, we've got to admit we've been going in the wrong direction completely for some time. It's not just about, you know, I got to make a few adjustments in my life. I've got to get my life turned around. I am headed the wrong way in life. And I've got to turn around. And that's hard for many to accept, that that could be the case, that we've made so many wrong decisions, or maybe the wrong decision that's led to a whole lot of other wrong decisions in our life. And that can be the case. The longer we ignore that, the more precious time we waste. And I acknowledged last week that the older I get, the more precious time seems to be. How many see time flying, it seems like? And it seems like, are you kidding me? Are we already in the middle of January? Wasn't it just getting ready for Christmas here a little while? And then before we know it, boy, I hope it comes soon, spring. Well, guess what? I know on the calendar when it's supposed to arrive, but the time flies. And sometimes we wish our time away. We really do, and we waste our time. If we continue going in the wrong direction, it just moves us farther and farther away from our goal. And if we have to make that U-turn, the longer the road is back, and the harder it is, and the more difficult it can be to get back to where we need to be. So a wake-up call for the need for a U-turn. Important that we get it as soon as possible, right? Now, I want you to give attention to what the Lord had to say to his people through the prophet Jeremiah. We're going to be looking at some passages in Jeremiah and also some in 2 Corinthians. But in Jeremiah, through that prophet, God had this to say to his people. He said, if you, Israel, will return, then return to me. Now, he's pretty specific. He's saying, you know, if you recognize that there's a need for a U-turn in your life, you're recognizing you've been going in the wrong direction, you need to get turned around, but not just turned in any direction, right? Return to who? Return to me. Return to me. Return to your maker, your creator, the determiner of your destiny. The one, again, who can guide you right, who can restore you, can help you. Matter of fact, in Jeremiah 15, he says this, if you return, then I will restore you. See that word if? If you return, then I will restore. We want restoration without return. A lot of times, right? Just make everything right where I am, without really making that turnaround, without making that decision, without making that U-turn and returning to God, returning to him. And it says, before me you'll stand. So who is the one you're returned to? Him, God. He's saying that they had gone off track, they'd been going in the wrong direction for a long time. They needed to return to him. Now, for all intents and purposes, just think about that a minute. Returning requires a U-turn. Yeah, play on words here, okay? But it's important that we see this play on words in the context of what we're talking about. Because so many times it is this issue that we want to blame everybody else or blame our circumstance, the situation. We want things to turn around. How many of you ever say that? I just can't wait for things to turn around. Boy, if things would just turn around for me. Or we say, you know what, if that person would turn around, if they would stop doing the things they're doing and start doing the right things, my life would be so much better. How many have said that? Sure, we've said that. And there may be some truth to that. But the reality of what we're talking about here is not for things to turn around, for us to turn around. Not for someone else to change their direction, but for us to examine where are we? And is there a need for not just a course correction, but a complete U-turn? Is there the need for that? You can't see return, though, to somewhere you've never been. You can't return to someone you've never been with. So that idea of returning is the idea of getting turned and going back. Returning also indicates a conscious decision and this determination, see, to turn around. A biblical synonym for this process, not a word we necessarily use in our culture in the world, but it's certainly a biblical term. It's repentance. Isn't it? The biblical term for doing a U-turn really is repentance. It has to do with regret or remorse for either something done or left undone that leads to redirection. So it happens within that we recognize, I'm not happy with the way things are. I'm not happy with the way I am. I'm not happy where I am. I'm not content in the situation that I'm in. No. And taking some personal responsibility that this is not everybody else's fault. This is not just the hand that I've been dealt. This is, what have I done with what I've been dealt? What have I done? And recognizing that I don't like this place. I don't like this situation. I'm not happy with me. Regret or remorse for something see done or left undone. Now we have, I think, a tendency to recognize and realize and confess and admit a lot of times the regrets we have, remorse for things we've done that were wrong. The things we did, and I wish I had not done that. Boy, what I did was bad. It was horrible. And we have more, maybe, a recognition of what we've done. Sometimes, though, I think we're not as quick to recognize, respond, and admit to the fact that we have left some things undone. Are the things, you know, that, like, for instance, we're talking about with God, right, that God's put on your heart, moved you to do, you felt compelled to do that you've not done yet? Anybody got some undones in their life? Got some undones and your regret and, you know, man, I didn't do it. I didn't do what I promised. I didn't follow through with it. And wow. But it's not just being sorry, see, for something we've done or left undone. It's being grieved by the consequences of our choices and the character that we have even within us that we're recognizing that's flawed. But then we're genuinely moved, see, to change the destructive behavior, to stop repeating the mistakes, to break free from the cycle of fruitless living. It means resolving, see, to make whatever changes may be necessary to get back on track with God. I know believers, very sincere, I love them dearly, who say, I don't believe in resolutions. I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. I don't believe that. I don't do that. They're resolved not to make resolutions. They've actually made a resolution not to make resolutions. Now, there's nothing biblically that says you have to make a resolution at the new year, but it's a time when you need to stop and think. We need to make resolutions continually. Be addressing, you know, what am I resolved to do? What changes am I resolved to make? What resolve do I have in my heart that I'm going to follow through with? What is it? We need to make those. But resolving, see, to make changes, to get back on track, and specifically in context we're talking about with God. We're addressing believers here, are we not? In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, Paul says this about it. He says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. See, repentance may begin with regret, but true repentance won't end there. Matter of fact, the regret will be forgotten. How many of you are tired of living in regret? You've camped out there. It's almost your mantra, your banner. Time to leave it, right? Leave it behind. And what's the way to get to the place of no regret? It's repentance. Godly sorrow will bring that repentance that leaves no regret. But see, this worldly sorrow is so often what we have. He says, that'll only bring death. More regret, more destructive behavior, farther and farther away from God and the plans and the goals that He has for us. If we're just sorry about it, if we're just upset about it, if we're just deciding to live in the land of regret. I don't want to live there. I don't think you do either. Do we? And we don't have to. But we're being told by the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit that the road away from regret is the way of repentance. It's about a U-turn. So if we're not happy with our current course in life, we have a couple of options. We really do. We can complain about it, or we can choose another direction. We can murmur about it, or we can decide to move in the right direction. We can regret it, or we can repent about it. See, there's some choices to be made. Now, if we choose to go in that different direction, make the U-turn, go in the direction God wants us to, maybe that'll mean we go back and start all over. Maybe it will. Maybe we really do have to go back and start all over. Praise be to God, by His grace, by His mercy, He'll let you do that. What's He say? Return to me. Our story, we'll start over. We'll start over. Come back to me. We'll start over. We'll do this thing again, but we'll do it right this time. Maybe, though, it means we just return to where we got off course and get back on track. And that's still return to God because it's where we maybe left God. We sang a song earlier, I know, that said He always goes with us. We talked about the God with us, Emmanuel. That's true. But there's a sense where if we stop listening to Him, we'll talk about that in a few more minutes. If we don't, we stop again really listening to Him, letting Him be the director of our lives, that we go off course. We just do. And it's not that He's not overseeing and watching there and not ready to receive us and love us, but He's saying, hey, return to me. Return to me. And maybe that is that we began, see, with Him. And we were going down the right path. And we were following Him. We were listening. And we were so committed about it, too. But somewhere along the way, we got off course. And we've gone off course a ways. And it's just not about returning, starting over. It's about returning back to where we left Him. But guess what? Good news again. Will He welcome you into that? Is He beckoning you to do that? Yes. And He won't be there again with that. No. It's this. Come on. Yeah, let's go. I'll pick you up, dust you off, restore you, and let's move forward. So thankful for God's grace. Perhaps for us, some of us, we've just let stuff we've encountered along the way distract us. It's not even that we left the path, we just stopped moving on it. We just stopped. We stopped doing what we promised God and ourselves we would do. So we need to turn around long enough, look Him in the face, get our bearings, you know, and start fresh. Right? Sometimes that's us. It's not what we've done. See, it's what we've neglected to do. It's our lack of follow-through in what we promised we would do. And we've just stopped. We gave up. We quit. Maybe we thought we're just for a while. Just I got to take a break for a while. And maybe that's something we believed, a lie of the devil we listened to, and we've just been stopped, not moving with God. He's ready and willing to start moving with us again. Amen. Amen. But we need to recognize that. Last week I shared that I believe that we not only need to seek God's direction, but submit to God as divine director of our destiny. If you were here, hopefully you remember that. That was a little bit of an epiphany for me. You know, I knew that, but it was just like something about that illustration. It just really hit me, you know, that I seek God's direction sometimes, but I don't let Him direct me in the following the direction. I don't don't listen enough, don't pay enough attention. Well, speaking of Carpenter's Place on Friday, I shared that one of my New Year's resolutions, and I have made a few, okay, is to stop procrastinating. I'm tired of kicking that can down the road. Maybe you've got some cans you've been kicking down the road. I mean, why not? That's the example we see all the time, all around us, right? Our government does it. Comes to budget time, kick that can down the road. Local, federal, global do it, kick that can down the road. You know, we'll address it later. We'll do something in the meantime, but we won't really deal with the issue at hand. People do that with a lot of things and issues in their life, right? I'm tired of kicking the can down the road. How about you? I am. Got to address some issues on hand. On a personal level, it's time to deal with some things I've been putting off for far too long. So I shared with them that I'm resolved to stop procrastinating starting next week or the week after that or maybe the week after that, but I am resolved to stop it. And I meant it as a joke, but to make a point. I've done that. And probably you have too. Probably you have too. But as I was joking about that with them and got that response, as it was if I heard in my heart of hearts the divine director's clapboard go, cut! Now action. It's time to stop procrastinating your resolution about procrastinating. It's time to move. It's time to take action. It's time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we read the Apostle Paul in talking to believers, talking to Christians there who have been saved by the blood of Jesus, but by the grace of God in Christ, but who've been kind of going around in circles for a while. He says to them, this is often taken out of context and applied to when we're talking to unbelievers, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of God's favor. He's talking to believers. He's talking to saved people. He's saying today is the day for you to be saved. It's today is the day for you to recognize you've been saved. Today is the day to recognize that you have God's favor. They recognize that, you know what? I don't need to be going around in circles and living my life the way the world does. I don't need to do that. I've been saved for purpose. I've been saved for a new life. I've been saved to stop spinning my wheels and start moving in the kingdom of God. That's the context. Now, I'm not saying that you can't apply it. If you want to take it and apply it to somebody and say, you know what, now's the day. But he's really telling believers, stop procrastinating. Stop going around in circles. Stop being insensitive to what God is moving you to do. And start doing it. Action. Action. Okay, I've set the stage, God's saying. You know, I've given you the script. I've told you what I want you to do. Okay, now, let's do it. Let's do it. Time to move in the right direction, which in many cases, once again, is we're going to require that U-turn. So my suggestion is that we listen to what the Heavenly Father has to say to any of us who've strayed from the path today, any who have lost their way, any who are confused about how to get turned around because you've been going in circles for so long you don't know which way is up. It's the word of God through Jeremiah again. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask what the good way is. And just wait. No. And walk in it. And walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. See, it's not a matter of just, you know, look for the right direction. Move in it, right? Move in it. Not just assess what the problem is, the situation. Not just recognize you need to make the U-turn or seek the redirect. Is then move as God directs. so vitally, vitally important. And what will you find? Regret. That's what he says. What will you find? Rest for your souls. Not enough to seek direction. We've got to be ready to follow it, to walk in it. There won't be any rest for us until we do. Ponder for a moment that and factor this into the equation. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls." Sound familiar? Rest for your souls. He says, "Take my yoke, learn from me, and I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." It's repeated. "For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." See, Jesus came to get us turned around. He really did. He came beckoning us to make a U-turn, to return to God and submit to the direction that He gives in our lives. That's what He's calling for. And in that, there's no regret. There's rest. Rest for the soul. You ready for rest? Well, God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, for your word. Father, for your reinforcement through the word of just some eternal truth that you love us, you have in mind for us a plan and purpose, God, that we as your children, you want us to experience so much more than we often do. And Father, it's going to require us being responsive to you, us listening to you, us following you into that path, walking in the path of rest for our souls. God, we believe with all of our hearts that you have the ability to give it, to sustain us in it. We believe that. God, so I pray this morning that you would move, that your spirit would move, you would convict us of whatever course changes we need to make, whatever redirection we need to be submitting to. And Father, if the need is for that U-turn, that complete turnaround, God, make it clear to us. And for us, maybe, who feel like right now we're going along pretty well, we're sensitive, we're listening, we're responding, God, let us understand that on this pathway, as we're walking with you, as we are following your direction, you direct us to help others who are returning and to beckon others to return, to be your voice, to say, come, come back, turn around, come back. Father, thank you for being so welcoming to those who return. Thank you, God, for being so patient with those who have yet to do that, calling out, pleading for us to do that. Thank you, God. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for Jesus, Him demonstrating to us how to walk in life, what journey to go on, how to be submissive to your direction, and find rest. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.